This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Hey family, this is Yuki Washington from CBS News Philadelphia. In our newsroom, the mission is clear. Make our communities better places to live. And with our innovative and immersive Next Weather virtual studio, we keep you and your family prepared and protected. If it's local to you, it's local to us. CBS News, Philadelphia, finding heart in every beat.
Hey, NFL fans, you can start the season with a big return on FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. So when you get a hunch in the middle of the game, you can check out the latest stats, view live play-by-play, and so much more on the same page where you place your bets. You'll get started with $200 in bonus bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. That's FanDuel.com/sportsfan. Never waste a hunch and make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL.
Must be 21 plus and physically present in New York. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY to 467-369 or visit oasas.ny.gov/gambling. Standard text messaging rates apply. Sports betting is void in Georgia, Hawaii, Utah, and other states where prohibited.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's 12:03, Thursday afternoon, September 26th. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us on the Noon Business Hour. I'm Rob Hart. Looking for a seasonal job leading up to the holidays? You should have plenty of options. We'll cover that in our next segment. But right now, Sharenting, the practice of parents oversharing their children's lives on social media, poses a range of risks from privacy concerns and safety issues to long-term consequences for the kids' digital footprint. Joining us now on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Jennifer Jolly, Tech Life columnist for USA Today, founder, editor-in-chief of Techish.com in San Francisco. Jennifer, thank you for joining us today. And I think anybody who has a social media account, any parent with a social media account, we're all proud of our kids. We want to post pictures of that first day of school, that last day of school, maybe some major accomplishment on the athletic field or an academic achievement. But when does sharing that accomplishment, when does that parental pride, when can that cross a line, Jennifer?
It crosses a line the minute that you lose control over that photo and video. So if you're not locking down your account, making your Facebook account, your Instagram accounts completely private, and only sharing those photos and videos with people you know in real life, then you've crossed a line. You know what? We all do it. We've all done it. It's the way to let the world know how much we love our children. But it's not fair to them, and they need ultimate veto power.
We're also arriving at a point where the first generation, if you want to call it that, of children whose parents were sharing their entire lives on social media, they have now come of age. In some cases, they have graduated from college and are embarking into the professional world. And are there stories now of these 21 and 22-year-olds whose lives have been documented on social media running into adverse consequences of all those old pictures being out there?
Absolutely. And those former children, now adults, are lobbying government to make it possible to very easily take that information down. They basically badgered Google until Google gave them a way to take old videos off of YouTube and scrub embarrassing things that their parents shared from the internet. But also, we're seeing a lot of kids say, I was bullied. I was stalked. How would you feel if somebody shared your most embarrassing moments? And I've written about this quite extensively and heard from my own daughter that she and her roommates in college were saying, why do our parents post like the worst photos of us? So the backlash is huge. And we're even seeing parents and grandparents sued over you know, being forced to take these videos down and not ever post again without permission.
And then very quickly, Jennifer, you're also opening yourself up to the possibility of allowing someone to guess your password, because I have noticed, this is on Instagram, that all of a sudden I'm being followed by brand new accounts. The profile picture is that of a pretty lady that I don't know, and I block them immediately because I just know that this is probably someone trying to get access to identifying features of my life that they could use as password retrieval answers. Because, you know, I have to fill out that, you know, if you want to retrieve your password, one or two questions they ask you to retrieve the password. And if they want to figure out your kids' names and their birth dates, they can go straight to Facebook and get them from you.
Names, birth dates, towns they were born in, schools, first elementary school, all of those. Barclays Bank, they shared some numbers. They said that sharenting will account for 2/3 of identity fraud and will produce 7.4 million incidents per year of identity fraud by 2030. This is a couple years old, this particular stat. I think it's about doubled. Innocent photos or videos of kids originally posted on social media and family blogs account for more than half of the material found on pedophile image sharing sites. I mean, it's scary. It has to turn around, and we have to stop exploiting our kids for clicks and views.
Jennifer Jolly, Tech Life columnist, USA Today. Thank you for joining us today.
Your best stock option. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
The holiday hiring season is underway with thousands of seasonal openings at a host of companies ranging from retail positions to delivery jobs. Welcome in Rick Cobb, founder of the workplace consulting firm 2Discern in Chicago. Rick, thank you for joining us today. And how does the temporary holiday help season in 2024 compare to previous years?
This is a big year. I'm not really sure what we could get our arms around it. I think the fact that we've come out of what might have been a recession, the inflation is moderating, the job market is still pretty decent, even though there's some cooling there. I think people are loosening up on their anticipation of buying things for the holiday. And certainly the retailers, Target, Macy's, you name it, they're all hiring in droves. UPS has got over 100,000 opportunities they're looking to fill for the holidays. So everybody's anticipating this is going to be a good holiday season.
And what are some things that you should consider if, you know, obviously everybody wants a little extra dough around the holidays, but if you want to pick up that seasonal hiring job, you know, maybe it's a second job too. What are some things that you should consider before taking the plunge?
Well, it depends on whether you are looking at it as an additional source of income during the holiday or a backfill for a job that maybe doesn't pay you enough. I think you still have to be somewhat tactical about the job that you take and how it fits into your future goals. You might be able to make really good money doing DoorDash or something like that and delivering food. But if that doesn't align with the things that you're interested in doing long term, or it's a lost cost opportunity for things that are more important to you, for you to do down the road, you should probably try to find something that aligns better with your current career.
And on top of that, some of these jobs are physically intense. And I know some people who have taken those UPS or FedEx jobs thinking, I'll do this to get into shape, you know, hauling boxes around and putting them in the trucks. And then by the time they're done, I mean, their body's really barking.
Yeah, and part-time jobs don't typically offer benefits, so you're really putting yourself at risk if it's a physically challenging job and you get hurt. There's not much that you can do about getting compensation for that.
That said, if you, you know, UPS and FedEx, once you are a full-time employee under the auspices of a collective bargaining agreement, those jobs do have very decent pay and benefits. So if you want to get your foot in the door, that temporary hiring help is a good way to do it.
It is. And I think one of the things you have to do is you have to look at the satisfaction of the employees that are doing that work. If in general there's not some sort of bargaining agreement and unions forming, and you go to the Glassdoor and look at their satisfaction rates, that might be a good way to get in there. And once you get in, of course, you prove yourself by doing the work and looking for other opportunities.
And of course, so we spent a lot of time talking about FedEx and Amazon, UPS, the package delivery and logistics companies. But the stores, they're going to need extra help, too. So if you're looking for a Macy's or some type of temporary retail job, is it cashier or are there other positions available?
I think that in most of the cases, it's not going to be cashiers. It's going to be the logistics of getting the products into the store and onto the shelves. The customer service side of that, the sales function, if you have those, if you have that background and ability, that's one thing. But a lot of it's going to be getting the products on the shelves and taking your customers, customer fulfillment, and also, you know, customer satisfaction.
And I would also imagine, Rick, if you are one of the fairies at the Walnut Room during the holiday season, that's probably a temporary holiday gig. I don't know if the Walnut Room fairies are flitting about the room on hot days in July.
I don't know what the career path for that is. I can't figure it out.
Well, you can work your way up to IMP. Rick Cobb, founder of the workplace consulting firm To Discern in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up next, look at the reality of artificial intelligence. We'll separate the hype from the real possibility. It's
lunch money for all generations. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's Technology Thursday. There's been a lot of hype surrounding artificial intelligence, but there also seems to be a lot of overpromising and under-delivering with the technology. Plus, stocks in the space are priced to perfection, leading many to wonder if it's more hype than reality. Let's get the perspective of Mark Hulbert, investment columnist for the Wall Street Journal, Barron's, and MarketWatch.com, based in Washington. Mark, thank you for joining us today. And there, during the course of the market bull run in the last year or so, there has been a lot of commentary about how it was limited only to the so-called Magnificent Seven, the big tech stocks, Nvidia being the biggest of all of them, and that the markets were betting on productivity gains that AI would usher in. And what happens, Mark, if those bets are off by just a little bit?
I think you'll see a huge drop in the market. We're seeing all the signs of what I think are a bubble. Now, I know a lot of people like to throw the term bubble around, but there are a number of definitions that researchers use to actually identify what at least has the earmarks of a bubble, and we meet those definitions. And so other things just anecdotally that indicate how much hype there is out there. There are companies and exchange-traded funds and mutual funds that have changed their name to include AI. They don't change anything else about their business model or anything else. They just change their name, and their stock price goes up. So there's no fundamental reason. It's just hype. And so anytime you see this kind of hype, you've overpromised, and if anything just goes slightly wrong on the road to that that perfection, then there's a lot of disappointment, and then that starts building on itself, and you could have quite a cascading fall.
They say history doesn't repeat itself, but it certainly does rhyme. And Mark, how does the AI hype cycle, the tech cycle, how does that rhyme in any way with the initial hype bubble surrounding the web 25 years ago?
Well, I think the analogies are quite appropriate, indeed, in many different ways. For example, I wouldn't say that AI is worthless. I think it can, in some limited circumstances, increase productivity. I don't think it's going to have the huge increase in productivity, at least right away, that people are promising. In the same way with the Internet 25 years ago. I mean, the Internet, of course, has been a huge boon to the economy, to productivity, and to the profitability of companies. And so in that sense, the bubble wasn't wrong. What was wrong about the bubble was that it was got way too far ahead of itself. And that's, I think, exactly what we're seeing here. So it's not a matter of saying yes or no to AI, just like the statement wasn't true 25 years ago to say yes or no to the Internet. The question is, relative to what is perhaps a more sober and realistic assessment, are we are we expecting way too much? And I'd say the answer is yes.
I came across an article from 20 years ago that was it was a snarky obituary of an attempt to create a digital news platform in 2002 that did not succeed and did not live up to its expectations. But 20 years down the road, digital delivery of all media content is the rule and not the exception anymore. So just because an AI initiative doesn't work today doesn't mean that's going to be the way of the world 20 years from now.
I think that's quite right. I mean, the example I often use is people say, well, it's going to put programmers out of business. Well, I'm not so sure. Yes, at some elementary levels, I suspect that the AI can really do a good job of perhaps imitating what they otherwise would have done. But on the other hand, somebody has to tell the AI program what it is that they want them to do with all the same parameters and exceptions and all the things that coders have to worry about. And so in that sense, it's just a different kind of programmer we'll have in the future. It'll be an AI programmer as opposed to a more traditional programmer, but you still have to have somebody with all those skills. So I think that's just one example of how it can be helpful, but it isn't going to necessarily be the be-all and end-all of productivity.
Mark Hulbert, investment columnist for The Wall Street Journal, Barron's, and MarketWatch.com, based in Washington. Thank you for joining us today.
Hey, family, this is Yuki Washington from CBS News Philadelphia. In our newsroom, the mission is clear. Make our communities better places to live. And with our innovative and immersive Next Weather virtual studio, we keep you and your family prepared and protected. If it's local to you, it's local to us. CBS News Philadelphia, finding heart in every beat.
Hey, NFL fans, you can start the season with a big return on FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. So when you get a hunch in the middle of the game, you can check out the latest stats, view live play-by-play, and so much more on the same page where you place your bets. You'll get started with $200 in bonus bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. That's FanDuel.com/sportsfan. Never waste a hunch and make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL.
Must be 21 plus and physically present in New York. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY to 467-369 or visit oasas.ny.gov/gambling. Standard text messaging rates apply. Sports betting is void in Georgia, Hawaii, Utah, and other states where prohibited.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon, I'm Rob Hart. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
This is Carolina Garibay. Chicago police are investigating a Northwest Side shooting that sent multiple people to the hospital.
The mayor of New York indicted on federal charges. It's Technology Thursday. We'll take a look at the wisdom of using TikTok and other social media for financial advice. Wendy's takes the latest swing in the ice cream section of the fast food wars. WBBM Business, the markets are higher. The Dow is up 238 points. The NASDAQ is up 34. And the S&P 500 is up 11, 75 degrees right now. Under mostly sunny skies, it's 12:31. Topping our news at the half hour, a shooting outside of a recording studio on Chicago's Northwest Side overnight has left several people wounded.
Chicago police are investigating what appears to have been a drive-by shooting. Officers say four men were standing on the sidewalk outside Fort Knox Studios on North Knox Avenue just off of Montrose just before 2:30 a.m. Then someone in a dark-colored sedan started firing shots. Police say four men in their early to mid-20s were shot. They were all taken to the hospital in good condition. No one is in custody and police are investigating. Carolina Garibay, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
New York City Mayor Eric Adams has been indicted on federal corruption charges.
This did not surprise us that we reached this day. And I ask New Yorkers to wait to hear our defense before making any judgments.
Adams is accused of accepting illegal campaign contributions and bribes from foreign nationals. It's 12:32 as the Noon Business Hour continues. Markets are higher. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Michael Palumbo, founder of MJP Capital, author of the book Calculated Risk in Chicago. Actually, we'll check in with Michael in just a moment. He was on the line. Here are some other stories that are making news at this hour. A 10th person has died in an ongoing outbreak of listeria food poisoning tied to a now closed Boar's Head deli meat plant in Virginia. At least 59 people in 19 states have been sickened by the bacteria first detected in liverwurst. Boar's Head officials shut down the plant in Jarrett, Virginia earlier this month and stopped making liverwurst. Inspection reports revealed a variety of problems at the facility. The company earlier recalled more than 7 million pounds of deli meat products sold across the U.S. A federal judge has approved a $600 million class action settlement involving last year's disastrous train derailment in East Palestine, Ohio. Attorneys for the residents in the Norfolk Southern Railroad say the judge approved the pact despite objections of a few residents who questioned that deal. The approval clears the way for payments to start going out quickly. The lawyers previously said they hope to get their first checks in the mail before the end of the year. It's 12:33 now in the noon business hour. Markets are higher. Let's welcome in Michael Palumbo, founder of MJP Capital and author of the book Calculated Risk in Chicago. Mike, thank you for joining us today, and a rather solid day of gains for the three major financial indices.
Yeah, good afternoon, Rob. Thanks for having me on. We had a huge buy up in the morning. Futures were up almost 1% pre-market on some data that came out and some earnings. And then we've basically sold off since then all morning long. But I really attribute this to the fact that the big data isn't coming out till tomorrow. And, you know, we had GDP, we had durable goods, jobless claims is a big number, and that they all came in at a good level. GDP was 3%, and that was expected. But the jobless claims, especially, were good at 218 versus 223 expected. But again, these are you know not off you know the expected by much. But PCE tomorrow, that's what the Fed looks at. And if that comes in hot, everything that's happened over the last month of rallies and bonds rallying and rates going down and everything is going to stop on a dime and reverse. So that's why you see the sell-off that's happened since the open, because traders are still worried about one more number. Now, if this thing comes in anywhere near where it's expected, which is 2.3% cost of living year over year in August, if it comes in around there, you're going to see this rally pick up again, and it'll stay. But if you see a hot number coming in, you're gonna get a sell off in bonds and stocks as rates tick higher, and people realize the Fed may not be able to lower rates as fast as investors would hope. So that's what we're waiting for. In the meantime, all these numbers today were great. Micron earnings were great. Everything, you know, I just caution investors, this number tomorrow is going to be a big one. And we are trading at over 20 times forward earnings in the S&P 500. So, you know, that's why we sold off after the open. And we could certainly start the rally back again. But that number has to come in at a very benign number. And we'll have to wait till then.
And Michael, very quickly, what is the potential for a surprise in the PCE inflation figure tomorrow? I mean, you can do some back of the napkin math and have a very good educated guess based on the CPI and PPI reads from earlier this month.
Yeah, right. So a lot of the components are the same, but, you know, you still could have just a little bit of a divergence where, you know, a couple of things like rent is up higher than expected. And all of a sudden you're looking at a number instead of 2.3, it comes in at like 2.6. Even that might seem like a small miss, but that alone, that 0.3% would be enough, I think, to sell off bonds and then the market as well. So, you know, we'll see. It likely will come in around 2.3, and the rally is likely to continue. But I'm just telling you why we didn't hold it this morning, because we didn't get the number yet that we really need to see. Hold on tight for that.
Michael Palumbo, founder of MJP Capital, author of the book Calculated Risk, based in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today.
Cash, credit, debit, and totally free. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Technology Thursday. TikTok can be a source of entertainment, inspiration, and help for a lot of different issues. However, is it wise to look to the site for financial advice? We're joined by Mark Horner, wealth advisor at Fairhaven Wealth Management in Wheaton. Biden. The website is fairhavenwealth.com. Mark, thank you for joining us today. And FinTok, as they call it, like all other aspects of social media or websites like Reddit, can make you smarter. It can give you actionable advice. At the same time, though, it could also give you advice, quote unquote, that could put you in some serious legal trouble. So how do you determine which is which?
Yeah, that is the million-dollar question, which I think is very difficult to determine at first blush. You know, a polished video from somebody with a whole truckload of followers can easily lead you to believe that this is somebody that you can lean on. But it's really, really important to remember how you let it off, Rob, and that is entertainment is probably the first thing that you're going to get from social media. You've got to really, really move slowly, vet. So that means triple checking with a variety of different sources before you act on any financial advice. This goes not just for social media. This goes for a conversation with your neighbor in the street. On any financial moves, it's very important to make sure that you understand the education and the expertise of the person that you're listening to, their motivations, how they might get paid before you take any firm steps to act on advice you're getting.
And before we continue, you might be listening and saying, well, who are you, host of the Noon Business Hour, to cast judgment on social media content creators? And I can tell you that more often than not, the preponderance of the advice that we hand out as far as your money is concerned, it's one, ask an expert. Two, put it in an S&P 500 index fund. That's usually that's usually where we land on most things.
Well, I can tell you, Rob, a fan of the show, if we got a phone call as soon as we're done from somebody that said, hey, I heard something on WBBM 2 weeks ago and I want to act on it right now, we would have to hear a bit more context about how this fits in with a person's overall financial plan, give their own professional opinion. So, again, it's not just throwing social media under the bus. Anybody that's out there peddling financial advice, whether it's the buy gold at 2 a.m. infomercial on TV, it's incredibly important to hear that advice with a healthy dose of skepticism and make sure that you double check it with two or three other sources before you act. I unfortunately have heard some horror stories of people acting on this kind of advice, whether it's infomercials or on social media.
Well, the most recent example was the TikTok trend that involved people writing phony checks, depositing them in the ATM, and then making withdrawals for a smaller amount of money. And it was presented on TikTok as an ATM hack, and the laws would consider that check fraud.
Yeah, and fraud's all over. I just 2 weeks ago, I heard about a fraud on LinkedIn where people are asking for job interviews with people looking for a job, and then they're asking for their bank account information to go ahead and get direct deposits set up, which complete scam. So again, it's not just social media. Very, very important to have a healthy dose of skepticism whenever you're listening to anybody's advice. And a couple of red flags specifically: anybody that says act now, avoid; anybody that says one size fits all for our solution, that you should be skeptical of. And anytime your gut tells you that this is just too good to be true, trust your gut.
Mark Horner, wealth advisor at Fairhaven Wealth Management in Wheaton. Thank you for joining us today. Join us at this time tomorrow for Entrepreneur Friday. And still to come, the Wendy's Frosty takes on the McDonald's Shake.
Cashing in with conversation, the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Wendy's is targeting McDonald's notorious broken ice cream machines with a $1 Frosty deal, seizing the opportunity to lure in some disappointed McDonald's customers. Who welcome in R.J. Hadavi, head of analytical research at the Los Altos, California-based foot traffic analysis firm Placer AI. RJ, thank you for joining us today. And the saga of McDonald's and the broken ice cream machines has been going on for decades. It has been talked about on social media. In fact, at one point, there was a web tool. Someone had a map, an interactive map, that would detail what McDonald's franchises had broken ice cream machines. And I noticed, looking at McBroken.com, RJ, that Wendy's has sponsored it now. They have their advertising all over it, and they also have Wendy's locations on that map. So Wendy's ain't messing around.
No, they're not. And just the latest in what we're seeing in terms of innovative marketing approaches in the QSR sector. We've seen a number over the last couple of years, whether it's nostalgia related, whether it's taking slight dings at competing firms. It's something that just the latest. And yeah, to be honest, it could be quite innovative. It seems like it's taken off on social media today. But I think it also underscores two bigger picture themes we're seeing taking place in the category. One is this early afternoon day part, kind of that snacking day part, which has really increased in terms of visitation trends coming out of the pandemic, but also consumers' need for value too. I mean, I think the $1 ice cream is going to play well in this in today's environment where people are looking to stretch their household budgets and get a deal.
And it just goes to show you that every element of a QSR's menu can be a front in the war against a competitor. The fact that Wendy's is going directly at McDonald's over something that has been well known for a very long time. Man, I don't know about you, RJ, but I remember hearing about the broken McDonald's shake machine 20 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I guess in this day and age, everything's fair game in this space. It'll be interesting to see. You know, I think that this could be an interesting opportunity to kind of build out more visits and maybe take some from McDonald's in the afternoon day part. Yeah, and it's going to be interesting to see how McDonald's responds here. Maybe there's a way to increase their own you know, marketing innovation on this front as well.
And the McDonald's is really playing up its ice cream concoctions, especially with the specialized Cosmic's brand that we see in the Southwest suburbs, which in a way is taking direct aim at Wendy's with their Frosty. So it's in McDonald's best interest probably to make sure the ice cream machines are in working order, because that's a competitive area.
It is. And we're seeing it in exactly the motivation behind Cosmic's, which continues to show some pretty promising visitation trends, really expanding out kind of the beverage platform. And by doing that, really hoping to expand their target audience, bringing maybe younger, you know, customers into that as well. And so I think it probably makes sense for McDonald's to have, you know, maybe a little bit more investment behind those machines. If 15% of the machines are down at any given point, maybe it's reinvestment so they can start to market some of those new innovative beverage platform drinks. And expand that platform. But yeah, Nick, this is something McDonald's is certainly prioritizing. I'm guessing they're thinking about it.
And of course, I can't help note the irony about the fact that McDonald's became McDonald's because Ray Kroc was selling milkshake machines when he discovered the McDonald brothers out in California. So that piece of equipment is foundational in the McDonald's story.
It really is. You summed it up nicely there, Rob.
RJ Hadavi, head of analytical research at the Los Altos, California-based foot traffic analysis firm Placer AI. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, family. This is Yuki Washington from CBS News Philadelphia. In our newsroom, the mission is clear. Make our communities better places to live. And with our innovative and immersive Next Weather virtual studio, we keep you and your family prepared and protected. If it's local to you, it's local to us. CBS News, Philadelphia, finding heart in every beat.
Hey, NFL fans, you can start the season with a big return on FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. So when you get a hunch in the middle of the game, you can check out the latest stats, view live play-by-play, and so much more on the same page where you place your bets. You'll get started with $200 in bonus bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. That's FanDuel.com/sportsfan. Never waste a hunch and make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL.
Must be 21 plus and physically present in New York. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY to 467-369 or visit oasas.ny.gov/gambling. Standard text messaging rates apply. Sports betting is void in Georgia, Hawaii, Utah, and other states where prohibited.